The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. Wow. I don't know why.
You went into clown mode
I
there.
Hey, Dave!
hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're your hosts. As always, joining me is my lovely manservant, Dave Draper.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry.
What am I now, Alfred, your Batman?
yes, you are.
Yeesh.
As a matter of fact, yes, you are.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Everyone knows Alfred's cooler anyway.
So. That is true. Alfred does kick some butt. Batman's like, I'm brooding and have money, and my parents were killed. And Alfred's like, I was in the British military, and I killed people.
And then he became butler.
Yeah, well, you know.
No, there's a story behind it. I know there's a story behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Because his dad was a butler, and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. I'm sure one day I'll be in Venice, and I'll look over, and you and Carrie will be...
You'll get the look.
I like that, man. Like, everybody else hated that about the movie. Like, oh, it's so stupid. I'm like, no, I was crying because it was so sweet. Batman got a happy ending.
I know. That's kind of
in more ways than one.
Kind of a lot.
Hey-o, family friendly.
Hey-o. Hey-o.
Have that conversation with your kids tonight.
Selena Kyle. Man, she's an amazing...
Hey, yeah, so. Yeah. She's an amazing piece of kitty.
Oh, yes. Oh. How you been, Dave?
I have been bored out of my mind because there's another polar vortex. It's either below zero or it snows. It warms up just enough to snow.
It's like when I woke up this morning. Okay, let me put it this way. Yesterday when I woke up, it was -15, and I looked at Carrie and went, "These dogs ain't getting a walk today. Period. I ain't going out in this crap. I'm like, they can poop in the backyard." Because dogs only poop if we take them on a walk, usually. And I was like, they'll deal with it.
Yeah, Casey's learned that, you know what, we're just not going to the park.
Yeah.
It's not happening until the weather changes.
Yeah, no.
Learn to poop.
I woke up this morning, it was -2, and I went, still not going. No.
Yeah. I opened the door and go, baby.
Yeah.
And then she barks at things and doesn't poop.
And, of course, it costs so much nowadays to run your heat.
Yeah, I just open up my Ameren, which is our gas company bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Carrie and I have the thermostat set at 67.
I have it set at 63.
And the house is at 60.
Yeah, according to my thermostat, it's at 63 because my thermostat is located in the heart, in the center, the trunk of the house.
Is ours.
The
ours
place
says,
where it's the last place to get cold.
Yeah. Ours says it's 67. I'm like, there's no way it's 67
in
this house.
No way. No, no.
And then, of course, down here in my office in the basement, it's always a balmy 62, no matter what year it is, no matter what time of year it is. Summer, winter, it doesn't matter. It's 62. And, of course, when it's 62 and it's negative outside, it gets even colder. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
So I've had to sit in the office with the heater on, with the door closed, hoping to God I don't die of something. I'm just like, man, I just got to stay warm.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about it. Because, I mean, I got like a bunch of Afghans and I got a dog.
That's
so you got little tiny dogs. I got a big dog.
I mean, they can warm my feet, but that's
no. I just grab that thing and it's like that. That's her function. That's her job. Wintertime comes around and the dog actually does her job, which is portable space heater, and in the case of extreme emergency, food supply.
Oh, I hear dog tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken. It's like that thing in the Matrix where they're like, you know, you just think that they made everything taste like chicken because they didn't know what things tasted like.
It's true. Anyway.
Try weasel. Try squirrel. Tastes just like chicken.
So, yeah. So it's cold in Illinois.
It's cold.
It's not just cold in Illinois. It's cold in many places, but holy crap.
No. See, that's the best thing about winter storms. Unfortunately, my friend Chris doesn't listen to this or he'd laugh. But the best thing about a winter, this winter too, especially, with all these storms, is that we get hit with these horrible, horrible freezes and blizzards. And the news is all about, tomorrow, important people on the East Coast will be inconvenienced by bad weather. And we're like, we're like the Donner Party. Like,
I
trying
know.
To dig our way out. Like, oh, no, not the East Coast, not New York. Poor them.
Well, you know it's bad in the Midwest when they start canceling school districts, and you're like, oh, well, it's bad. Because they don't usually close for snow. And
yeah,
when it's,
no.
When it's cold, and they're like, well, and on a Sunday, they're like, well, we're closing school for the week.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, apparently it's bad.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, hadn't been fun around here, gang.
No, not fun at all. It's been poopy.
It's been kind of crappy.
Been poopy. I'm finally starting to get out again, so.
Not me.
Nah,
no. Of course, toy news this week. some interesting things. They revealed another figure for the G.I. Joe convention set.
Yeah, I think we're up to four now. This is the fourth one, yeah. And it's Tijibang.
Tijibang. Tijibang. Tijibang.
That's what I thought, too.
Oh, baby. He's one of the...
He's one of the original Ninja Force guys.
Yeah, but he's a zombie hunter.
He's a zombie hunter now, because whatever.
Yeah, well, you know.
LOL, zombies. It looks good, actually. I think it looks pretty cool.
I don't know. Is a lot of that reused?
Yes. I'm sure everything but the head is reused.
Because I don't know.
The way those things work, everything but the head has to be reused.
What the heck are the gauntlets? He's got these big, funky gauntlets on there.
The gauntlets may... Like, the one thing I would hedge on is the gauntlets, but those... Those might come with Budo, actually, the new Budo, the Samurai Budo.
Yeah, I could see that.
I would not be shocked. I mean, I haven't parted them out, but the way those work is they just get the head, usually. And even then, like, if you look at the other three figures, those all have old heads.
I gotcha. So, of course, last time we talked, we had the...
The last time we talked, we just had the, the Cobra Tech.
Yeah, the Cobra Tech, and we've got Flint. We've
got Echo Force Flint.
Who's kind of cool. I like the helmet he comes with.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty close to the... I mean, it's a nice update of the vintage figure. Because they had an Echo Force Flint.
Right.
And then we have the...
Steel Brigade.
Commander.
Yep.
Which is... Yeah, I get what they're doing. Because Steel Brigade figures back in the day had several variations.
And they were the Mailaways, weren't they?
They were the Mailaways for Joe. There was a Joe one and a Cobra one. And Steel Brigade were the Joe ones. And then one of them had like a gold helmet, which was like the really rare variation.
Oh, I gotcha.
I think that's like a tribute
to
that one.
To the rare one, yeah. So, you know, we've got four figures now revealed in the Joe box set, which is kind of cool. Are you getting any more excited about this box set, or are you just kind of I'm going to buy it because
I'm going to get it because I want it. You know, obviously there are several several vintage figures. That's what they're doing now, being updated.
Right.
They're
going
to have the Toxo Vipers, I think.
Right. Of course, you love you some Vipers.
Love me some Vipers. Well, it'll depend on which, because there are two different Toxo Vipers. I'm hoping it's the earlier one, but because we just got Cesspool in the Collector Club, the subscription service, I'm figuring it might be the later one from the EcoForce.
Oh, for the Eco,
Which I don't like as much, because I'd also have the Toxo Zombie as a, not a variant, but they had the Toxo Zombie, which were Toxo Vipers that had, like, the broken mask.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's weird. Zombies were a thing that I was into before they were cool.
Hmm.
And now I am and I don't say that because I'm so cool. It's just that was, you know, in the 80s, I was into Romero movies.
Yes.
And I loved them. And it's just, they've gotten so played out. I mean, this must be what the goth kids feel about vampires about like 5-6 years ago with the whole Twilight thing. It's like, really? I'm just kind of... So this whole set has been kind of, for me, really zombies. And I know... At the one JoeCon, like 2 years ago, they had all the zombie figures that look really cool. And I have zombie Vipers, and they're really cool. I'm going to get it. I'm hoping to maybe get some things from the con, from some people.
Right.
But, I mean, I'll probably Homefront Heroes. I've got money budgeted for the Homefront Heroes, which is when you don't go, you buy the box set. So I've got money budgeted for that, if I can keep through this month without spending it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So I'm going to get it just because I've gotten like the last 4 or 5 years worth of box sets anyway.
Yeah. So, you've gone to the last couple.
I've gone to the last two, and then I think the 2 years before that. Because when I started, you could get them. You could go to the... After the convention, you could just go to their website. And they had, you know, that year's set, and they had previous year's sets. It was... I got into it just before it became a thing.
Right.
You know? And again, it's not that I'm super cool, I'm on the edge. It's just, I was just lucky. Because I was like, oh, hey, you can actually buy some of the older sets. Neat! Not no more. Yeah, that thing sells out, boom.
Yeah.
So, I think it's just people are like, hey, wait a minute, these sets are neat. Let us buy them. And at the same time, the club has kind of been famously cutting back on production numbers, too.
Right.
So, it's a 1-2 punch that these things are now, like, stupid. Although, last year's set you can still get on Unnamed Toy Retailer for a decent price.
Unnamed Toy Retailer.
We going to talk about that? Or we're just going to do toy news first.
We'll do toy news.
All right.
Nickelodeon's got some new... Actually, Nickelodeon's and Playmates have a couple of new turtle vehicles coming out that should be hitting right now.
I found the new wave at Toys R Us last week.
Really?
With Mutagen Man and the squirrel and the bat.
Casey Jones.
Yeah. They had two Casey Joneses. Jones-eye.
The grass kicker, the bushwhacking wheeled weapon with soda-busting shuriken shooter. That's a mouthful.
That's a point.
So now we're starting to get kind of the almost vintage-inspired vehicles for the line, which is nice, because now we're starting to get into the kooky designs of, you know, of the olden days. The Shell Flyer, the prop-powered T-Glider, which looks kind of neat. It's, I mean, these vehicles are very simple, which is why the, you know, the costs can be so contained on these.
Reasonable, not, yeah.
The sewer sub, and this one comes with Diver Dan.
That's kind of neat. Well, it's a little thing, yeah.
Yeah,
but that's kind of neat.
Tiny. Yeah, it's kind of
cool. I like this, like a little turtle.
Yeah, it's got little firing weapons. That's cute. And the Donatello's actually got some interesting articulation. I don't think the other figures have articulation like that at the elbow.
No.
Yeah, he's got
not pin joint.
Yeah.
Yep, saw Kirby bat.
The snarling winged bat.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was a good guy.
Well, kind of. I mean, they...
Ooh, what's the... There's a picture of a guy on the back of the card that I don't know.
Or is this, that... No. This one down in the corner here?
No. On the other side. Oh, no, it's leather. It's Leatherhead. Never mind. Bad.
Yeah. Bad. We won't read you the back of the file card for Kirby bat for those of you who haven't watched the show. And,
spoiler alert!
Yeah, don't want the don't want things spoiled for you.
I picked one of those up. They're really cool.
Yeah, he's pretty neat. He's kind of tiny looking.
You can he's actually pretty big. He's decent size for that series.
Well, that's good.
You can open it up and take the little blobby thing out and fill it up with liquid.
Oh, nice.
Or ooze if you want to.
Yeah, squirrelinoid.
Squirrel, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess they did Jones earlier.
Yeah, they did Jones. So
I guess he finally showed up on the show.
Yeah, he did. Some new Turtle Lego sets are coming out, which should be coming out. The Kirai Bike Escape with Leo and Kirai there.
Cool.
Looks like we've got...
yeah, I think there's another submarine, actually, ironically. Yeah, there's a playset with Spider Bite.
Yep, the mutation Chamber Unleashed.
Wow, really?
Sorry. Could really get that out very good. Looks like the T-Rocket Sky Strike. It's kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
Comes with a Krang. And a Kirby bat, apparently.
And the sub, told you.
Yep, Turtle Sub, Undersea Chase.
That's probably the most expensive one, and that's the one I would buy.
Because it's got Leatherhead in it.
No. Oh, it does?
Yeah, it comes with Leatherhead. So it will be the one you buy.
I just like the sub. I think that little Turtle Sub's cool.
Yeah, I do too. It's pretty neat looking.
Uh-oh. Dr. Zaius.
Yep, NECA showed up their upcoming 7-inch Planet of the Apes figures, which we'll probably see more come out of Toy Fair.
Help me, Dr. Zaius.
The first one, of course, was the Paintmaster for the Dr. Zaius, which Dave has been so kindly singing.
Yeah, I may pick that up.
It's pretty nice looking.
No, just to do the constant irritating... Stop the Planet of the Apes. I want to get off.
Oh,
trying to clear stuff.
Good call. Stop the Planet of the Apes, because I want to get off. Not sure that's how that line went, but...
There was no line. It was a marquee on a theater.
Oh. Fair enough.
Simpsons fail.
Sorry. I can't remember half the Simpsons stuff that happened.
It's all I can remember anymore.
It's true. There is a lot of it.
This is all I have is useless pop culture knowledge.
It's not all completely... Okay, well, maybe...
No, it's pretty useless.
Yeah, it's pretty useless. That's true. This is true.
What are we looking at?
This is true. I was looking for something.
We'll
talk about it here in a second. And I had to figure out
good. There's only so much I can stall.
Well, I had to figure out what website it was on. So, the other NECA thing that showed up this week was they teased... Well, they didn't tease, but they showed a picture of it. Of course, we talked about it.
Yeah. The video game Predator.
Yep, the next upcoming 8-bit video game action figure, which is the Predator from the game The Predator. So that's going to be pretty cool. That comes out, I think, in May is when they said that is. But, of course, it's colored to look just like the opening sequence of the Predator game, and it's pretty darn neat.
Yeah.
I kind of like NECA doing these 8-bit action figure lines. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Actually, somewhat related, I actually saw the Predator Vision Dutch at Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of neat.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I've seen that figure. It's well done.
They're really doing some interesting stuff with this license.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the same with Gremlins. And...
Well, yeah. Well, when I said this license, they're doing a lot of interesting stuff with their properties.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Action Figure Insider, actually, if you guys have ever visited actionfigureinsider.com, they did an exclusive interview with Brian Mariotti of Funko about Reaction.
Okay.
About the Super 7 Reaction line. And I think this is pretty interesting because some of the questions was Star Trek Classics was listed as one of the Reaction licenses. What does Classic entail? Just the original series or everything prior to the J.J. Abrams boot? Yes, Classic TV, i.e. Nimoy and Shatner in the original series for now.
Oh my God. Wait, is that for the
That's for the Kenner, the reaction line, yeah.
The shut up and take all my money. I want it all.
They said, stylistically, will the reaction line follow the model established by the alien figures? Neutral pose, straight arms, legs, creating consistency across all reaction properties. And they said, yes, absolutely. We want everything to feel like a Kenner Star Wars figure from 1978.
Mixed feelings, but there's also the 7-inch line, which is a modern.
For reaction, are the figures always 5 points of articulation, or might there be occasional extra points such as knees for sitting? And they said, always limited articulation. They're not going to break that rule for anything. It's always going to be limited.
Hasbro never did that.
Yeah.
Enough.
They say
Kenner, I'm old.
You mentioned on the Funko Fanatics forums that you plan to greatly expand the Remco Universal Monsters line.
Oh, you're just ruining my life. Hate you.
Are the Universal Monsters going to be done in the Remco style or in the Kenner style?
This may get one more question, and we may get family unfriendly.
Was your comment directed more at character offerings rather than upcoming sculpting style? They said more Kenner style with additional figures not produced by Remco, as well as glow in the dark and black and white versions. They asked, will any major brick-and-mortar stores be carrying reaction and or legacy lines? And they said they believe Toys R Us and Target are very interested in the vision of reaction. They said, if reaction is a hit, we all hope it is, are there any plans for vehicles or playset, such as a Kenner-style DeLorean or Back to the Future, or an Enterprise bridge would be amazing. They say, yes, Super 7 and Funko have a nice surprise up our sleeve for Comic-Con on a playset.
I don't like Comic-Con stuff. Still, though, man, Star Trek. I'm trying to think what they could do for the monsters.
I don't know.
I guess Metaluma Mutant.
And the last question on here was, fans are already dying for the reveals to come next month at Toy Fair. Now that Alien has been released, how soon until the next reaction line is released? And they said, Toy Fair is going to explode minds. We will be unveiling 8 to 10 new lines of reaction, many in their blister cards and some as prototypes in paint stage. It will be epic.
Wow. Dang.
I'm excited.
This is supposed to be the year that I was getting out.
I'm excited for everything they're doing.
I'm Al Pacino in Godfather 3.
I know. Just when I think I'm out,
they pulled me back in.
Well, I figured reading that earlier today and seeing that not only were they going to do, the classic Star Trek stuff, but they were also going to do that Remco stuff. Remco is something.
Which were basically
Remco
Star Wars figures anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they were monster Star Wars figures.
The Remco figures you made a point of about a year or so ago to start really actively.
I've got them all.
Yeah.
I've got them all. I don't have all the... Because there were two versions. There was a regular and glow-in-the-dark version.
Right.
And the only one that I have that have both is the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Right.
Because it looks radically different.
Yeah.
The rest of them are like kind of
the same.
No, well, some are the regular and some are the glow-in-the-dark. Because it is kind of the same. It's just the paint on their face.
Right.
But so, yeah, I have all the figures and I have the little carrying case playset.
Yeah. If you guys want to read that whole interview, you can go over to actionfigureinsider.com and check out the rest of the questions. Those were the key ones, though, that I was reading and that going... I was like, holy crap, those are...
Oh, yeah, Star Trek is huge.
Yeah. I can't wait to see... Yes, I know Comic-Con exclusives suck. I'm not in disagreement with that at all because it's just a pain to get San Diego stuff, period, half the time. But I'm anxious to see what they're going to reveal playset-wise and who it's for. My only thing I can think of is it would have to be, unless another line comes out before Comic-Con, would have to be something for Alien.
I guess.
Because they've already got Alien out.
Like the Nostromo?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, dude, it's either the Nostromo or the Derelict. The space... Oh, man, a Space Gunner playset would be so cool.
That would be tight. With the Space Jockey?
Space Jockey.
That'd be pretty cool.
Dang.
There were some Godzilla 24-inch movie figure photos revealed, but Legacy Pictures have had all those pulled, so...
I saw it.
Can't really comment on it. What do you think?
It kind of looks like Godzilla.
Yeah?
I mean, it looks more like Godzilla than the Broderick Godzilla.
That's fair.
The face is a little... I mean, it's a little odd, but...
Yeah.
It's basically Godzilla. You can tell... You know looking at it that it's Godzilla. Let me put it that way.
Well, that's good.
As opposed to, a dinosaur with spines on its back.
Right. Huh. As opposed to something that's trying to eat Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, my beef with that movie was not the design of Godzilla. It was the fact that it was a movie about Matthew Broderick.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that is one of my concerns about the upcoming movie, is that it will be a movie about Bryan Cranston.
Oh.
It's a concern.
Boo. Figures Toy Company revealed a carded Alfred figure for their Series 3 Batman line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about, because we know a guy who's involved in that.
Yes.
Dan Nordyke. He's actually talking about trying to get some of the, because this license is actually based on the show, which is weird that Alfred doesn't look anything like the show Alfred.
Right.
But he was talking about trying to get, for a later way of getting guys like King Tut and Egghead. I'm like, hey,
that'd be
yeah,
cool.
Egghead.
Well, I mean, if you think this Alfred.
No, because the guy they got looked nothing like comic Alfred. He wasn't bald. He looked more like movie Alfred from the first couple movies. Well, first four movies.
Yeah.
And well, I mean, in fact, even Michael Caine. They,
yeah.
Like, all the live action ones are all like old dudes with gray hair, not bald dudes.
That's true. But the other figures in that are Batgirl and
with removable cowl.
With removable
looks
cowl,
like.
Yep, and Batman and Robin with removable cowls. So kind of they're taking the old Sears exclusives for those and doing that. Oh, did you see if you go to MattyCollector.com where collectors are king, which is not entirely true at all.
Yeah, right.
They're running a Fisto contest, one through, which is running right.
Careful,
right
family
now,
friendly.
Right now through 2/6, and it's just basically. Four lucky fans will win. Send us a shot of your Masters Universe toy collection, and you could get a signed Fisto figure. Well, no. I mean, I understand people want Fisto, but...
Yeah, I... don't know. I am glad that I have almost nothing to do with that website. Or the people who run it. There was a thing about the DC lines...
Yeah.
Wow, this has happened so long ago. Happened over the weekend, I think, where Toy Guru posted this thing. Oh, about Doomsday.
Yes.
And was talking about why we won't get classic Doomsday. And it was extraordinarily patronizing.
Oh, well, here, we can go read that.
It was extraordinarily patronizing, and he made a point like two or three times of pointing out, gosh, if the subscription had gone through, if you had supported the subscription, like, you know... Gee, thanks for reminding us that it's all our fault that it didn't happen.
Well, I mean, it's...
But it was basically... I mean, basically, he was like, well, the Doomsday is all completely... we'd have to do completely original tooling, and we can't afford it. But it's like, okay, A, it's clearly, like, 40 to 70% the same tooling as the Gimp Suit Doomsday.
Yep.
And B, you had the ability to... I mean, that was pretty much new tooling. If he just said, look, we got the tooling done for the first one... And we didn't have the rest of the parts done for the second one, and we don't have the money to do the rest of the parts.
Right.
That would be accurate, and that would be fine. But the way he doesn't say it exactly, but the way he implies is that they would have to just cut all new molds to do classic Doomsday. And of course, we can't afford that. And that's not true. It's not how it plays out.
Basically, he says, in order to run a collector line, specifically a 6-inch, highly detailed and articulated figures, we do
need...
By
the way, Doomsday is not that detailed.
No. We do need, in today's economy, a minimum commitment from our customer fan base. This is exactly why we run the sub-program, sold in the weeks following San Diego Comic-Con each year. The full year is like a jigsaw puzzle where all the pieces needed to fit together and work holistically in order to make the line work. So, for example, the 12 partial tooling figures with new heads and capes. Tooling means molds to build new parts, by the way. I'm pretty sure most of us know
that.
Yeah,
thanks.
Help offset the cost of fully tooled figures. In order to produce the fully tooled figures like Doomsday would have been, we need to bank his cost against the costs of the less expensive, overall, partially tooled figures. Doomsday alone is very expensive to make. We can't make him as a standalone figure, but rather he was baked into the cost of the full year line, assuming we had hit Tier 2 or a minimum Tier 1.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, the high cost of Doomsday with so many more parts banked against the relatively lower cost of the 12 partially tooled monthly figures.
Okay, but here's the problem, is you could make the other Doomsday, which if you look at the pictures, is clearly, you know... A good portion of that figure reuses parts. Those two figures reuse the same parts.
Right. Here's what's really been getting people kind of irritated. And they said, speaking of early access, I know a lot of DC fans have asked if they can still have early access. But unfortunately,
that part I didn't really care
the
about.
Answer is no. Without hitting at least 100% on Tier 1, we simply can't move forward with the DC subs, which would have included the other benefits like early access. But these figures will be offered during all access as long as they don't sell out during early access at a lower production quota than they would have been had the sub gone through. So for this reason, the price tag per fig for these four will be 25 each. They said we should have final samples on all four quarterly figures at New York Toy Fair in February at our press-only collector event from 12 to 3 p.m.
Some of us have final samples now.
I love, here's the point. It's like, here's where it gets interesting for all the websites going. It says, for all the reveals, check our news section on Sunday, February 16th, right around noon. So basically, those of us sitting at home could post all those pictures and beat the poor guys who were there clawing and scraping their way to the front of the line to take pictures of all this stuff. It's like that, really, Maddie? Press only, but, you know, we're going to, it's our prerogative, so we're just going to throw all the pictures up before the press can get anything. No.
No, they did something like that, what was it, at Comic-Con last year?
No.
Where they were skunking?
They posted, they had the pictures ready to post, and they had them on their server,
mm-hmm.
and somebody decided to go through and start looking, like, start digging through the web pages by taking out certain things and putting certain things in, and found the entire listing of the San Diego Comic-Con. That's how we had them up before they had even done the Maddie Collector event that year, because all the pictures were right there to grab right from the website, and Mattel was like, oh, well, crap, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've done that before, but by accident, or maybe not. Nobody really knows for sure. It's just, yeah, this is a... They say, while the quarterly releases in Doomsday Prison Suit are the final figures in this line, which, for those of you that didn't know, the figures are Ice, Superboy. Crap, what are the other two?
It's right up there at the top of the page. Aquaman, and Damian Batman.
Damian Robin, yep. Let's see... While the quarter releases are in Doomsday Prison Suit are the final figures in this line, we are just too in love with this form factor to let toy history fade away. So I can announce officially there will be a surprise at New York Toy Fair next month to commemorate the end of an era. No, it is not unreleased Doomsday. Again, he needed the full year at Tier 2 level to move forward, and we didn't even hit Tier 1. What will the surprise be? Let's just say it's something a lot of fans have been asking for, and a great way to give a heroic send-off to one of the greatest toy lines of all time. I don't know what it...
Like, I hope it doesn't require new tooling, because apparently you can't do that.
Yeah, no crap.
Like, oh, we can make this new figure completely from scratch, but we couldn't do Doomsday from...
He says, next up on the docket, we have our very exciting Total Heroes line. This is a brand new line of 6-inch figures, yeah, designed specifically to hit a lower price point at retail while maintaining a favorite scale. You'll see the big guns of the DC world hitting retail all year, including Batman, Flash, and Superman. And only on MattyCollector.com, collectors will be able to complete their new Total Heroes collection line with quarterly releases of Total Heroes Ultra. The Ultra figures will be priced at $20 each and will offer plus-up characters with additional piece count compared to the retail releases, as well as a more collector-friendly characters. Included in year one release schedule is a Green Lantern Corps figure with the heads for Jon Stewart, Tomar Rey, and Green Man, as well as three sets of hands and three constructs to arm up your cores. This release will be followed in quarter two with Black Manta, with three heads, two unmasked, one masked, and a ton of accessories, including a four-pronged spear and hunting knife.
That sounds like an awful lot of new tooling.
Quarter three will bring Batman Beyond with a Terry, Old Bruce, and a masked Batman head, as well as a Batarang and a mini Micron sidekick figure. And the fourth and final Total Heroes Ultra figure will be revealed next month at New York Toy Fair. There's still a ton of great DC product coming your way from MattyCollector.com. Yeah. As always, we can only make product and collectible figure when there's an audience to support it. So if you want to see more Total Heroes in the future, be sure to let us know and support the 2014 releases. No.
See, people, it's not that people didn't want to support the lines, that people didn't want to get locked in because we're not Masters fans.
Right.
And DC's been going on forever, and we've got every major character.
What, like 127 figures or something like that?
And we don't want to get locked into a bunch of... You ended the year with freaking Bat-Zaro.
Yeah.
Which, I love Bat-Zaro. I think he's a great character, but, like, I can see where, like, most of the average collector fans were like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who was in two whole comics?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, and it's just... I am so glad there's absolutely nothing I need from that site. I mean, I did pick up... We talked about this before the show started. I did pick up my first of the 4-inch DC figures, which I actually kind of like. I think it's pretty nice. I got Mr. Freeze from Arkham City.
Yeah.
And I've got a bunch of the movie ones pre-ordered from an unnamed toy retailer. But, man, I am so glad that I do not collect Masters. And that's not a slam on Masters. It's a slam on Mattel.
Yeah,
and Maddie and Digital River. Yeah. Like,
I mean, don't get me wrong, we probably, if any of the Mattel people listen to this, or if Nightlick ever gets word of this, we probably will never be fans within the Mattel household, because simply, and it's nothing really against, it's just poor business decisions they've made. I mean, let me put it this way. It's not so much, you know, most of the guys that are complaining and are crying across forums and message boards are basically just furious because it's, you know, I can't even put it into words.
Well, there's a lot of sense of we're not getting what we want, and people throw a tantrum about that. And I understand that. I get that. But for me, I mean, the irony is, even if they'd done the doomsday, you know, the doomsday that everybody knows as doomsday,
right?
You dummies. Even if they did that one, I probably would not have bought it because I think it's kind of crummy looking.
Yeah,
I have the DC Direct one that they released a billion years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it might not have as good articulation, but it looks better.
It's a far superior figure.
That one looks like it belongs to that other stupid DC line that they were just hyping up. The really kind of crummy, simplistic one.
Yeah.
Which apparently you got to go to Maddie Collector to complete, which I thought the whole point was it was supposed to be for kids. But
no,
now...
No, they say it's collector friendly, too.
It's
so
crummy.
I agree.
I mean, it looks like the crummy... Batman Brave and the Bold knockoff, not knockoff, but the sort of figure that are Target.
The plug and plays.
No, well, not the plug and plays, but the ones that they have at Target now that have that real simplistic anime style.
Oh, yeah,
looks like those and DC Universe Classics had a baby.
Yeah.
And that's what that line is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, aside from the fact that Batman comes with like a million different Batarangs, I'm like, ooh, Batarangs.
And the Flash comes with these weird like rollerblade things.
Nah, I don't know what the Flash comes with. I don't care about the Flash. Nobody cares about the Flash.
Aww.
No, I'm kidding. Now I've made a new enemy, all the Flash fans. Hate you. No, I'm kidding. Shouldn't have said that. Point being, those figures are crummy, and I don't like them, and I will have nothing to do with them.
Yeah, they're not.
Like, when the Four Horsemen, because they described it as the Four Horsemen era, and when that ends, I'm done.
Yeah, Dave's out.
I'm out. Except you did a 4-inch line that doesn't completely suck, so I will dabble.
Yes, Dave will.
But I am going to cherry pick that thing. I'm not getting attached.
Mostly because...
It's not another Marvel universe.
Yeah, mostly because there's a Penguin coming out. And...
There's a Penguin I really want.
Yep.
Well, and the movie stuff I really want. I'm really excited about the movie stuff. And I really loved Arkham City. I just finished Arkham Origins, which
I
didn't enjoy as much.
That.
But I really like the Arkham games.
Right.
Well, the good ones, anyway.
And, you know, the other major thing is, you know, we talked... I don't know if we talked about the turtle costume leaking last week.
I don't think so.
The costume for the new Turtles movie, one of the Michelangelo costume leaked.
Like a literal, for those of you who necessarily aren't in the know, a literal child's costume for Halloween.
Yes, literally a child's
based
costume.
Based on the movie, though.
Yep. There has been a picture floating around now, whether or not it's official, or, you know, well, not official, but whether or not it's the real thing or not. There's a picture floating around of these four maquettes. And for those of you who don't know, maquettes are used usually in animation, but mostly like on CG films as well, for filmmakers to get an idea of the characters and for people to realize what they look like on set so they have an idea of what they're acting against.
Yeah.
Sure. This picture of the four maquettes for the Turtle film showed up, and looking at the picture and then reading the description from the marketing...
There was a marketing conference somewhere.
Yeah.
They match up.
Yeah, they match up. The descriptions match up to these maquettes. And
the maquette of Mikey matches the costume that we saw earlier.
Yes. I won't say they're completely terrible. I will say...
Not completely, no.
Well, there are some design elements in these, in the looks of the actual movie designs that... at least they look like the Turtles.
They look like Turtles, yes.
Just way bulkier versions of the Turtles we know.
Well, I know the child's costume had a nose. So.
Yeah, I don't think they have noses so much as they have the beak, the turtle beaks. But I think the costume noses were built that way because the way the kids. I don't know, man.
I have been. You know, we've been in the nerd game for a long time.
That's true.
And I don't know how many movies. And it's kind of ironic because I don't know if we're going to talk about the Empire covers or not, but. I don't know how many movies have come out, and you get that first glimpse of the costume, and you're like, well, this looks like garbage. This is terrible.
Right.
I am angry. And then you see the movie, and it's fine.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be the case with this movie.
I don't, well, because it's Michael Bay, so who knows? I mean,
yeah.
We still don't know if they're actual, like... I mean, the earlier reports were very bizarre about this movie, so who knows... what he's doing with it.
Yeah,
he's not even directing.
Yeah.
He's just
producing. He's
just
producing, but still his fingers
are
in it.
He's just ruining it.
Yeah, basically. Well, we will talk about the Empire covers. For those of you who don't know, Empire celebrating 25 years in the...
Empire is a film magazine.
Empire is a film magazine. One of the best film magazines. It's that, and I think
Total... Film magazines.
Well, that and Total Film, which is a UK release, but Empire...
One of the only magazines, period.
Pretty much.
Welcome to the digital age, doofuses.
Yay! Empire magazine, though, has been around for 25 years, and this month, to celebrate their 25 years, they actually did 26 different covers, all featuring different characters and director Brian Singer from X-Men Days of Future Past.
And it's a panorama. If you buy them all, you can make like a big panorama.
A huge panorama. But it basically features every mutant character.
It features,
and every major character, including young William Stryker, Oliver Trask. Surprised. I was like, oh, William. I was like, cool.
And if you pay attention, like half of them are in the past and half of them are in the future.
In the future, yeah. But some of the designs, people are really upset.
They showed the Sentinel. They showed two different Sentinels.
They showed the original, the current Mark II.
And then the future Sentinel that kills all the everybody.
So they showed those, and I'm all right with the Sentinels. I mean, the old one looks like it should as something that's...
You know, I kind of like... Everyone's making fun of the earlier one. I like the earlier one.
I do, too.
I think it looks kind of like a robot we would actually be able to build.
Yeah, I agree.
The other one, I don't like. It's all sort of... It's going to be, like, all nanotech-y, and it's just...
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
But they showed, of course, all the past characters, you know, for all the X-Men characters from the past.
Well, I mean, in the past, they had Toad... And they brought back Havoc from the last film.
Beast.
And they have Beast from the last film. Yeah. They have Mystique as Jennifer Lawrence.
Yep.
Or the other way around. And they've got Fassbinder, and they've got the other guy as Magneto and Xavier. And then they've got Wolverine, and he's got the bone claws.
Which is pretty cool.
Well, which is interesting. And then, like you said, they've got Stryker, they've got Trask, and then Singer's in the middle.
Right.
Where everything changes. And then, you know, they've got...
Storm and
But they've got Stewart, and they've got
McKellen
as the future versions, and they've got Storm, they've got Rogue, which is kind of ironic because apparently
she got cut.
Her scene got cut.
Wolverine again. Shadowcat,
Colossus,
Iceman, Bishop,
Blink, and Warpath.
Yeah.
And then Blink's opening up the portal, and you can see Warpath. And then Warpath together, you can see the portal behind
him. Yeah, you can see the back of Blink, which is kind of neat, which is a kind of cool thing. I think the thing that people really...
Oh, and then the big one was Quicksilver.
Yes.
Like, that's the one that everybody's upset about. And I'm not necessarily upset. And the reason I'm not upset, which I'll get into in a minute, but it looked terrible.
Yeah, it does look pretty bad.
It looks awful. It looks like... People have described it as Ramona Flowers' brother.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like he's hanging out at Justin Bieber concerts. And he's supposed to be in the 60s, too. Remember, he's in the past section.
Well, and that's the point, though. I mean, they basically made him look like a douche, and Quicksilver's pretty much a douche.
No, he's a different kind of douche, though.
Well, that's true.
I mean, he's a completely different... He's not some trendy little... At the worst, he may be a little Euro-trashy, but he's just kind of arrogant jerk rather than trendoid douche.
Right.
Like, the look is all wrong for the character. And this is sparked, as it always does.
Yay, nerddom!
Well, but it always does. There's always that guy that goes, well, you don't think the comic, you know, would you really, you know, the green and silver costume and spandex wouldn't work in a movie? And it's like, okay, well, you're right. The original comic book costume probably wouldn't work.
You're right.
Those are not our only options.
No.
it's not this or the... Because they always do that. It's like when Transformers came out, people were like, well, you can't do the toys because they won't work in a movie. It's like, okay. And I can understand that some people are just sort of hanging on to their nostalgia for the toys, and that's why they don't like these designs, but the designs themselves aren't that great. I think in Quicksilver's case, it's really just a crummy look, and it does not fit at least my interpretation of the character. Like, it's something he would not be caught dead in. He's the kind of guy that would wear, like, a real kind of flashy, cool, expensive suit.
Right.
Not some trendy club kid garbage.
Well, you know what? I think you said it, too. It doesn't matter, because in a year...
Well, here's the irony. Here's the irony, is that in a year, Quicksilver's also going to be in... Joss Whedon's Avengers 2.
Yep.
And we're going to get a completely different costume, and a completely different look, and a completely different actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, Whedon and the Disney Marvel stuff has a track record of being more comic accurate. So it'll be interesting to see what his outfit looks like in that movie. My guess is it will be more like the... Because they tend to trend towards the Ultimates.
Right.
It'll be his Ultimates outfit.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty interesting.
So, yeah. Oh, that was neat. Those are cool.
David,
little rocking horse tauntauns.
Yeah, David, I found a site that has rocking horse tauntauns, which are kind of cool. I was actually looking to see if there was any, been a lot of, a lot of rumors and speculations coming out recently that, Affleck is gone from Batman Superman.
That I don't know about.
Yeah.
I know he got pushed back.
Well, they've said a lot of, there's been a rumor, a speculation. None of it's been found to be true, but there have been people saying that Affleck has been really ticked at Warner Brothers because they can't seem to get their house in order with this movie.
Yeah, well.
Like, they can't figure out what they're doing. The script's horrible, apparently, which is no surprise.
Shocker.
Like, the movie gets pushed back. You know, he already basically gave up directing duties on a film he really wanted to direct to do this movie, and now he's regretting the decision. Especially, he'd been regretting it, apparently, since day one when the backlash happened with all the fans. So now, people are saying Affleck may be out and Josh Brolin may be in, which was the second pick for Batman, which is the person people really wanted to see play him in the first place.
That's not necessarily who I wanted to see play him, but that's not a bad choice.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, I never hated Affleck. I know people freaked out about that. I never thought he was a terrible choice. Yeah. I was a wait and see guy. Like I actually thought, I mean, there's a lot of people I actually thought Clooney could have been a good Batman had he had a better movie.
True. Very true.
So, yeah, I never got the Affleck hate. I mean, I did because for some reason he got overexposed after Good Will Hunting and everybody hated him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at this point, it's like, let it go. just see what the dude does. Maybe he's going to be good.
Very true. That was pretty interesting news today, though. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I didn't hear that. Yeah, I heard that the movie got pushed back to 2016.
Yeah.
Which was smart.
Very smart. So, yeah.
And the script for episode 7's done.
Yeah, Star Wars is done. That's
the script's finally done again.
Yeah.
Because they threw out Arndt's script.
That's good news.
I guess. He did Toy Story 3, which I liked.
Yeah, I did too, but...
I mean, I'm happy that I'm happy that Kasdan's do it. I have mixed feelings that Abrams is writing it. But...
Yeah.
So, hopefully we can start to get some casting news. I've heard a lot of interesting, juicy things, which I'm not going to repeat on the podcast until it's confirmed.
True.
But some really big names, some juicy stuff. And I just want to get the thing before the cameras.
Yeah, I do too.
Apparently, Abrams has confirmed he's directing the movie.
Good.
Well, you know how Abrams is about the secrecy.
Yeah, so yeah.
Apparently, he's
well, admitted. he said there's going to be a lot of give and take.
Yeah, he said there's going to be reveals. Less. Yeah, there's going to be a lot less of the
because
nonsense.
He knows the fan base is going to be like, oh my god, give us something. And
well,
he's
also, he looked
like
a
no.
Since we've used the word repeatedly on the show, he looked like a total douche last year with the whole, it's not Khan. No, it's not Khan. Oh, it's Khan.
Yeah, oh, it's Khan. Sorry.
Like, yeah, that was the worst kept secret in the history of forever.
So, moving on.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Damn it.
No, that's okay. I don't like talking about Star Wars. I don't want to talk about Star Wars.
You talk about Star Wars all the time.
I do not, actually. It dawned on me. We hardly ever talk about Star Wars.
That's true. But, I mean, the movie's finally going to get made, which is good.
Well, hopefully.
Thank God. Because it's been like, it's happening, it's pushed back, it's happening, it's pushed back.
Well,
it's happening.
I think that was another one where it was, they didn't quite have their act together, and they're pushing it a little too hard, I think.
Yeah, they didn't have their act together at all.
Well, you know what? They want to recoup that $4 billion as quick as they can.
That's true.
But the fact that it got pushed, you know, in a weird way, I know... Like a lot of fans, my heart is kind of a little sad that it's not going to be in May for the nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
But I like that it did get pushed back, because at least there was some attempt to go, no, we need to have some attempt to get our ducks in a row before we make this movie.
It's true.
We can't just slap something together. All right, so what do you want to move on to?
Well, I was going to say, you know how Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
Oh, for God's sake. That's what we're blowing off Star Wars for.
Well, we're not really blowing Star Wars
off. No, let's talk about Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
Do you know how...
History's winner.
The one, like, set of weapons I was missing was for the Red Ninja, and that's, like, one of the rarest figures, and I was like, I'm not going to buy one of those mint and card because they're going to be way too expensive, and I just need the weapons.
Okay.
Well, somebody on eBay listed the regular Ninja, the black one, that
but
I already have.
Had the right weapons?
Oh, yes, it did, sir. Oh, yes, it did.
I see the words track package, so yeah. I can guess where the story's going on this.
Oh, buddy. I bought it in a heartbeat.
I didn't see how much you paid for
it. I paid $10 total after shipping. So I paid $6, and then it was like $4 shipping.
Not bad.
No, I was like, you know, we had just talked about...
Yoinked it.
Well, yeah. We had just talked about, you know, we need to cut back on purchases, this, that, and the other. But I was like, that popped up, and I was
please.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not avoiding that. I'm like, if I go, no, it'll come back around. I'll never see those weapons with a figure like that again. Yeah. I need those weapons. Because the weapons, the black ninja's weapons are red, and then the red ninja's weapons are black.
It's crazy!
I know, right? But the black ones, of course, the red ninja is the one that was harder to find. The weapons are super hard to find. It's taken me forever to track down the weapons I have for that line to complete everything. You know, the purple, the ninja, the ultimate ninja, I can never think of his name, but the purple one comes with weapons. And then there's the black one of the ultimate ninja. And he's got, you know, the same weapons the purple one does, but they're, I don't remember what color, I think they're red. And the foot pieces that they come with, the little foot blades, were super hard to track down.
Hmm.
And I was like, well, all I need now is Kimo's sword. Because he had a sword that he came with. He had the fan and he had a sword. And I'm like, I can't find the sword, but I was more concerned with finding that ninja's weapons than I was anything else. Because that was killing me. Physically, mentally, generally. I was dying inside.
Were you?
A little bit every day. Tiny bit every day.
Thank God that crisis is over.
Yeah, crises is done. Crises is done. No more crises for me.
All right.
So, yeah. Good times.
Good times.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you say we, if you haven't, check out Facebook.com, search Toy World Order Fans, and that's the Toy World Order fan group.
Blowing up.
That is our lovely home. Of course, there is an official Toy World Order page, but the place where we all meet and converse and share our love of toys is Toy World Order Fans. So just go to Facebook.com and search Toy World Order Fans. Join the group. It's an open group. It's not closed. It's not private. You don't have to wait for one of us to invite you. All you have to do is just ask to join, and I still have to approve you, but it's a quick process.
It seems to be some other people are letting people in.
There are a couple other people that are letting people. Yeah. Some people it won't let. Some of them it won't let them add people, and some it will. It's really weird. I don't understand why. Oz, I finally was able to add Oz, even though every time we looked at it, it said Oz wants to join the group, and it was never there. So I finally added Oz. But Toy World Order Fans is the page. You can go there. Every Sunday night through Tuesday, there'll be a sticky post saying, you know, we're recording on Tuesday nights, which is when we record this show. That's the time to ask your questions in the comments. And then usually from Friday to Sunday, when Married to the Collection is recording, that's when we post questions for Married to the Collection. So, but right now, all you have to worry about is us. Carrie and I have cabin fever and can't get out, so there aren't a lot of stories to share that involve toys. Unless you just want to hear about our sad, pathetic lives at the moment. Dog's sick, dad's sick, everybody's sick, you know. Yeah. It's depressing,
yes,
quite frankly. But that's what happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, Married to the Collection will be back in the spring once it warms up to the point where Carrie and I can go out and be like, we're free! Hallelujah, we're free!
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Flea markets galore! Oh, Jesus Christ, flea markets, flea markets, flea markets! That's what we're thinking in the back of our heads. So go to Toy World Order Fans on Facebook.com and join the group, and you can ask your questions there as well as interact. There's always, every day, there's all kinds of great stuff. Dave has been posting pictures of his collection every day and a new little section every day, which invokes a lot of conversation. Lots of great people are posting some amazing pictures of their collections.
Yeah.
You know, lots of stuff getting shared. Lots of great toy comments. There's been a lot of great compliments on the group because we're not your normal Facebook group. You know, a lot of groups have rules and have regulations and are, you know, banning people left and right because of certain things. I don't want to do that. I just want to, you know, the people that are joining are the people that listen to the show or watch our shows or know ToyWorldOrder.com.
Yeah, or see, don't be a jerk, and then you'll be fine.
Exactly. We, you know,
you can disagree with people, but don't be a jerk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what I said in one of my posts. Is I wanted a place where we could all share our love for toys, all have conversation as adults about toys, whether we agree or disagree. You know, there's just no arguments. It's like, you know, that's cool. I don't agree with that, but it's awesome. You know, that's how I feel, and Dave will tell you that. That's usually how it goes with something I don't like. I'm like with Madden Collector. I'm not a fan, but I understand why people still want to buy from there, and I'm not going to try to convince you.
Well, I understand. Whoa. I mean, yeah, because it's the only game in town.
Right.
So, yeah, I understand why people want to buy from there. They, you know, if there was an option, yeah, Maddie Collector would be dead in a heartbeat.
But, you know, some people in the internet.
In fact, I think that's what's hurting it, is that people are now more willing to buy from.
Right.
places like unnamed toy store.
But, you know, people on the internets would be the first in line to basically attack those people who are like, oh, I have to, Meta Collector. And they'd be like, stop it. Don't do it. Join us. Change your mind. Change your lifestyle. You know, that kind of stuff. So,
well, I mean, it's a legitimate argument to make. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. It's like you are supporting something that you hate.
Yeah,
well, you are, and I can understand. I mean, believe me, I've been there with Star Wars and Hasbro in a couple times in my collecting career, where it's like,
yep,
you know, the only way to get through to these people is not to buy anything, but it's Star Wars. So if like one guy doesn't buy anything, it's like, yeah,
true.
See ya.
True.
See ya. So,
but yeah, there's lots of great people on. You know, we've got over 137 members as of this recording.
Yeah, we're so excited when we broke 100.
We're going to break 200 here real soon. I mean, by the time this podcast, you know, shows up, we may be over 150, which is awesome. I'm adding 5 to 10 people a day, it seems, new people that are seeing it in friends' news feeds, that are, you know, or seeing it, you know, talked about somewhere else. And they're like, oh my God, this sounds like a cool group. And it is. There's a lot of great people here. Chad Plew, Patrick Sinatra, you know, just lots of great people. Brent Scarano, you know, Michael Lasuda, Tom Chaos. I mean, a lot of great people are here. So, you know, there's a lot of great people to talk to. There's a lot of great fans and friends and viewers and listeners to hang out and chat with. So make sure you check that out. But in the meantime, let's hear some fan question music.
Fan questions?
Fan questions, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Yay! Our fan question music done by the great, awesome.
Yeah, you don't remember.
Friendly. No, I do.
All
right. I do. It was made by Chris Fent.
Okay.
I was getting there. I was building him up.
Were you?
I was.
I thought you were stalling.
No, I was building him up. I was getting there. All
right.
Chris Fent made that for us.
I believe way back in
the old days. In the olden days.
The olden times.
The olden times. In the salad days, as Dave just said a little while ago. First question comes from Mr. Brad Thorne. He says, hey guys, I really would like to thank you guys for covering the topic that I had trouble trying to figure out a way to ask, which was about the decline of action figures in mainstream retail stores. I do have a follow-up question for that, though. For the entire past year, the boys section of my local Target always had the same 3 leftover figures from the first wave of the Return of Marvel Legends. Then, all of a sudden, 2 days after Christmas, they were stocked with the variants for that wave, and then a day later, they were being clearanced out. I've seen the same thing happen at my local Kmart and Walmart stores, where the actual action figure aisles stay barren and are never restocked. Then all of a sudden, off in the far corner of the store, are all of these figures and other product that never showed up shoved into the clearance aisles. I keep hearing that the big stores don't want to buy the toys because they aren't selling, but how can they sell if they aren't being put out in the first place? Well, that's a very good question.
First of all, our Target in particular is infamous. I mean, they've done that for years.
And that goes back to the people running the toy department don't want to put the stuff out because they think the collectors are just going to come in and buy it. And then it sits in the back room forever until it's time to get clearance out, and then they have to put it out.
They have to put it out, yeah. I mean, there's been, like, they've had exclusives that just, they only show up, like, one weekend on, you know, the end of clearance.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty ridiculous, actually, and it goes a lot. It really has a lot to do with who is in charge of the toy department and what they can get away with and what they feel like doing. Unfortunately, we as collectors and fans have a very bad reputation in a lot of big retail stores.
Well, and
at least around here we do.
Well, yeah, and there's
reason for it.
As even though some people take offense at it, there are people out there that there's a reason for it. There are people out there that give us that bad name
exactly
by their shenanigans.
Yes, stupid shenanigans. So a lot of these guys that are running the toy departments do not like us. Do not want to put out product. They put out as...
Because they make a blanket judgment about all of this.
Yep. And they put out as little product as they can get away with putting out just to appease their bosses, and then they don't worry about it. Because if you notice, 9 times out of 10, the girl aisles are stocked, like heavily stocked.
Yeah.
And the boy aisles get ignored because they're like, I don't want to put that crap out because I don't want to deal with the collectors who are going to be in the aisle fighting the kid for it. That's what they think. And that's happened, but...
It's happened.
Yeah. That is really the unfortunate thing with today's retail marketplace.
Well, and some of it's that. Some of it's just laziness.
Some of it's laziness, yes.
Just that they're on, you know, it's that section, so they're not really that up on it. And they don't
right.
really, you know, they don't really keep up with it, you know, anymore. There's not, I know at Walmart, there used to be a guy who was the toy department guy.
Yes.
And now it's like the toy department sporting goods, some other thing guy.
Yep. That's what it was at Toys R Us for me. I was in charge of our zone, which
was
electronics.
Toys R Us is a little different. Ours, at least, seems pretty good about trying to get stuff out on the floor.
They were, and they still are to a degree. But, I mean, I've given you the idea of the fact what I had to deal with in retail was I was in charge of electronics our zone. I was in charge of boys, girls, and I was in charge of basically learning. Like, I was in charge of all four of those things at once. And I had to pay attention to all four of those, and it was very hard to stay on top of everything because you just couldn't, because they overtax you and overstretch you, and that's what a lot of retail organizations are doing now. So it's very sad, but that's pretty much how it's going nowadays, man. It's been going that way for a long time.
The action figure presence is shrinking anyway. So it's just you know, dying on the vine. Some of it's probably that stuff just came through the pipeline late.
Yep.
Too.
I agree. Joseph Chitwood says, when you go to a toy show or convention, how long does it take you to buy something? The first few minutes, or do you walk around first to see what everyone has? He says, I always walk first, but sometimes I'll buy something as soon as I walk because something catches my eyes.
Well, we have the famous story about how you were supposed to keep me from buying stuff until we did a full circuit.
I was
literally within minutes, you were like, get this.
It's only $10, buy it.
$10, buy it.
I was.
Honestly, I try to hold out as long as I can. I know people are like, oh, Dave buys everything. He's just kidding. No, I try to hold out as long as I can.
Dave does.
There's something I want. Because I want to do that pass-through. I want to see what's out there.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be in a situation where it's like, you know, you buy some stuff that you're kind of not that thrilled. You know, you're like, oh, I kind of like that.
Right.
And then you find that one thing that you really wanted, and it's just out of your price range.
Yep.
So I try to hold out, but if there's something I really want, I'll pick it up.
I mean, you know, Dave and I have at least a unique opportunity with Toy Man, thanks to the generosity of Chris McQuillan, who, you know, runs the show, and the work that we've done for him in the past with, you know, previous websites, this website.
Well, I mean, we pimp this thing on the show all the time.
So, of course, we're usually, you know, we've had a couple times where we've had some trouble because he wasn't there, and people are like, do you have a table? And we're like, no, we're friends with Chris, and we're allowed to, you know. Dave and I basically are allowed to go in the show while the dealers are setting up. Not a lot of people are.
So I describe it as that Goodfellas moment where they sneak in the back.
Yeah, basically. We just sneak in the back door, grab a name tag, and go walking about. So Dave and I,
we're cool.
Yeah, so Dave and I have that unique opportunity where we get to kind of browse before other people do. But the problem with that is, though, the problem you got to remember with toy shows...
You're competing with the other dealers.
You're competing with the dealers. The dealers, 9 times out of 10, have pretty much bought up all the cool stuff for really cheap. And I'm not lying and making it up.
As we kind of discussed with the last Toy Man... The guys behind us that we were talking to a lot, they basically were like, quote, set up, end quote.
Yes.
So that they could be there to buy.
Yeah, they literally just came to buy and then had just a little of assortment
stuff.
They
had just enough to make a token appearance of selling stuff.
Yeah, basically. So then you have a lot of guys set up tables that are like that, that are just going to the show to set up basically so they can buy from other dealers because they know the dealers are going to give them a good deal on stuff.
Yeah.
And buy it before the public gets it. So you run into that a lot. Kane County, which we talk about a lot on the show, is the same way. You can actually go to King County the Saturday before the Saturday before Sunday, of course. You can go to the show the day before.
Yes, calendar is very good.
You can give them $50, and they will allow you to go in and shop.
Blah, 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 $50, blah, blah,
while the dealers are shopping. And apparently, from what we've been told by many of the dealer friends we know there, that's when all the deals happen there, too, is that the dealers basically buy all the cool stuff from the other dealers.
See, here's the thing. Maybe the savings you would get on the deals would balance out the $50 you spend to get in.
I don't know. You know, Dave and I have talked about going...
Well, I can't do it this spring because of C2E2.
Right. Maybe in the fall, me, you, and Dan will go.
I might do it sometime. I think it'd be fun.
Right, it's $50. It's like,
yeah,
crap.
Yeah, you guys are babies.
My thing has been, we run a website. Why don't we just tell them, hey, can we come work on a story on Saturday while the dealers are setting up and come back on Sunday? Because we always stay the night anyway, so...
You know, I say good luck with that, but if anyone can pull it off...
It'd be me.
It'd be you.
Yep. I would be able to do it. So, yeah, sometimes it just depends. Like, when we go into King County, we try to take a walk around first. But 9 times out of 10, we stumble across stuff where it's like, well, you can't pass that up. Because if you walk away from it, someone else is going to grab it, and then you're going
to
be upset.
I remember the last King County, there was literally a couple of times I would go to a thing, and it would be something I want. And I'd turn to talk to you about something, and I'd turn back.
And it's
gone. It was gone. It was sold right there when I was there.
Yep. I had a Dragon's Lair lunchbox. The guy only wanted $15 for it. It was complete. It was in beautiful shape. I was like, you know what, I'll come back. And I came back and it was gone. Somebody bought it. And they bought, he had a whole box, a sealed box of the Dragon's Lair cards, the trading cards.
Oh, wow.
and he only wanted $20 for it, and I should have bought it when I saw it, and it was gone. I was like, well, crap.
Well, I remember we'd actually talked on the way up about the Bronze Bombers figures, and there was one figure, Agent Telepathy, the female figure.
Yes.
And we were at a dealer, and you were getting stuff, and like I saw it, I was like, oh. I looked at you, I looked back, someone had
grabbed
it.
Yep. Dave was like, really?
Really?
That's why you don't turn to talk to me. You just go, yoink, and then you go, hey, Duval, look what I found. That way it's in your hand.
Meh.
Michael Masuda says, what is your prized possession in your collections? And it doesn't necessarily have to be anything of value, just something you truly cherish.
Well, if it doesn't have to be of any value, our friendship.
No, oh, that's technically in your collection.
Technically. I don't know.
I've got
too much crap.
It's, you know, like, if I had to say something that was in your collection that was...
Oh, is that how this works?
Well, that you...
I'm going to say Fortress Maximus for you, then.
Well, no, that you truly cherish would probably be your few Star Wars figures you had from when you were a kid.
Yeah, I would say so. Those are special. Any toy that I had as a kid is special.
Right.
There are a couple of G.I. Joe vehicles that I have in the box, and I have all the stuff that I had as a kid.
Yeah.
Those are probably the one or two Transformers I had. Stuff that I had as a kid... That I actually had as a kid.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stuff that, you know, I've since re-gotten.
Right.
Re-bought.
Reacquired.
I
was getting you there. I was going to get you to that one.
But, and those are special to me, too. But the ones that actually were my toys that I played with.
Those are special. Yeah. Well, like, you know, same with me. The stuff that I still have from when I was a child, like my Phantom Striker jet that I didn't have a canopy for forever. That was really special to me. Because I had that as a kid, you know. Some of the figures, the Batmobile and stuff I have, and the Batman figures I have out there that are just incomplete and missing stuff. I had those from when I was a kid. I had those from when the movie came out. So those are really special to me.
Yeah, my Batman and Joker figures from the first movie, the Toy Biz ones, those were in my stocking that Christmas,
yeah.
My mom.
So, it's very cool, though. I have other stuff, you know, like I totally, truly cherish all of my talking toys. I cherish every one of those because the amount of work that I put into all of those to get them to work again, you know, it sucks now because my grubby is conking out. His speaker doesn't work, so I got to figure out what's wrong with him. But anyway, you know, but yeah, that's the stuff I truly, truly cherish, the stuff I had from when I was a kid that I still have.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my mom and I were talking about all of the stuff that was lost in the flood, just all of the stuff lost from my childhood, not even my toys, just my childhood mementos. All of it's gone. I have nothing. I barely have any pictures. You know, we talked about one year... I think on Pop Culture, talking about getting pictures of all of us from Christmas time and using them in a Christmas episode. I don't have any from when I open presents because they're gone.
Mine are from when I'm a little kid, like before action figures.
Yeah.
Like I have one shot of me with that RV.
Yeah.
And that's what the closest I have to me with something.
I don't have any. I don't even have any pictures from my birthday parties.
Aww.
Like all my Showbiz Pizza Place pictures, they're gone.
Oh, weak.
Yeah, gone. So... Alex McKay says, if you guys were designing an action figure of yourself, which action features would you give it, if any, and what accessories would you include?
Oh, of ourselves.
of yourself, like, yes.
Like
if you were designing an action figure of Dave Draper, what action feature would it have, and what accessories would you put in there?
It wouldn't have action features because I hate action features. Ironically, it'd have a lot of articulation.
Yes.
Just because I like articulation. It wouldn't do much, but like it'd come with, like, I don't know, a couch.
A case of Diet Coke.
Diet Cherry Coke.
Diet Cherry Coke.
And the dog.
And the Casey. Dog, yes. If I had an action feature, I would have, like, hat popping action. Like, that'd be fun. I'd be one of the old Kenner Police Academy figures.
You'd be some goofy Kenner figure.
I would. And I would literally, I would come with a miniature aerial doll. I would come with I would come with a little puppet Duval. Because I got to have my companion and my compadre with me.
Yeah.
Which
is ironic that you would come with Puppet Duval, but...
Well, yeah, it is ironic, but you know. We're seen together at the same time. You and Puppet Duval never are.
I know. That's why it's ironic.
I know. But yeah, I'd come with a little mermaid, a little miniature mermaid doll. I'd come with a little Puppet Duval, like a little semi-articulated Puppet Duval with biting actions. You press a little button on his back and he'd go, And I'd probably come with a... with, like, you'd have to buy multiples of us because there'd be a Build-A-Figure carry.
Oh.
with shaming action.
Shaming action. Yep. I was going to say scowling action.
Scowling shaming action. Or you press a button and she says, so, another box came in the mail for you today.
No, just really.
Yeah, really.
Really.
Oh, man. Joe Santana says, with TMNT being so popular again, do you guys see any other toy line catching on with kids and collectors like the Turtles have?
I didn't see TMNT catching on like that. Because, I mean, the thing is, I've been wrong so many times in the past.
Yes.
You know, I mean, He-Man came back for 2000X, and had the cartoon, and that sort of came and went.
Yeah.
You know, and you can make the arguments. And then Thundercats was just a disaster.
Yeah, Thundercats was a horrible disaster.
So Turtles is sort of like lightning in a bottle. I don't...
Lightning in a bottle striking twice.
Yeah.
Or technically three times.
Point being...
right.
That I did not predict this being as big as it was. I thought something would happen, but then again, I thought it would happen with the other lines.
Right.
So to have it be so huge is just like, wow. And I can't foresee anything else being like that, because just the trend of history is against it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see anything other
Turtle,
than, you know,
Turtles may end up being the last great
action figure toy line.
Yeah.
Retail action figure
toy line
ever made.
Yeah, the true action figure. Yeah. You know, everything else will be collector...
Yeah.
Collectibles.
Yeah, basically. You know. So that we may be seeing the end of...
Articulated statues is what we're headed towards.
Basically. Vixie Tales says, a question, would you rather collect a line that has a predefined end or a line that could go on endlessly? Example would be the Marvel 6-inch for
predefined
non...
End.
The Marvel 6-inch for non-ending, since new characters can and will be introduced in the comics.
Freedom.
Or the SH Figure Art Sailor Moon as a line that has an ending, since the cast is infinite or is finite.
See, first of all, the problem with Marvel, which is really ticking me off at this point, is the characters change so quickly that Hasbro can't catch up.
Right.
And then Hasbro decides not to bother with the figures they've made because they reflect something that was a couple of months ago.
Right.
That's why when the Superior Spider-Man figure came out, I'm kind of glad that storyline went on as long as it did. Because
We finally got a Superior Spider-Man.
I don't know that we'll get one in 4-inch scale, because by the time... Because Peter's coming back this summer.
Right.
And I don't know if they'll... I mean, the action figure line for the movie would have been the perfect place to slide one of those in, but that's just garbage, and it's... So Marvel's problematic in that regard. Obviously, you know, I would have thought Star Wars would be like that, but then they went Expanded Universe, and now we've got, you know, a trillion... You know, we've got a movie every other year coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
I am comforted with the older toy lines, knowing that there's not a lot out there. I prefer to go after lines where there's not a lot out there.
Right.
Clash of the Titans, Dune, these smaller lines that don't really have a lot, you know. You know, I even prefer if they don't have a second wave, because second waves are always a beast.
And that's one of the mainstays between you and I when it comes to collecting, is the fact that, you know, I may go after the odd screwball lines, but those are also the same type of situations where they are a very finite release. You know, there's a series or two series released of any said line, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I will never, ever... I mean, you know, we talked about earlier, I'm posting pictures of my collection. Well, we're hitting the Transformers thing, and it's an impressive chunk of toys.
Right.
But... I'm not a Transformers guy.
Right.
I will never go down that road. That's madness. I mean, I love G.I. Joe, but I don't know that I'll ever be a completist on the vintage stuff, because there's just... It's endless. It's a bottomless well, and there's so much to chase.
Yeah.
I mean, with Joe, it's a little more reasonable. I mean, Star Wars, actually, for as long as it went, as much stuff as it did, there is... It's if it weren't as popular, if it weren't as popular now in the secondary market... It would be a very reasonable line to kind of finish off and get done with easily. There's
right.
like 115 figures. There's, you know, I don't remember the exact count for the vehicles and blah, 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 but it's, you could do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you had the money and a couple of years to get it done.
You could do it.
You could do it pretty easily.
Right.
Because it was also produced in the billions.
Exactly.
Which is the one huge advantage of Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I generally definitely prefer it has a start, it has a finish.
Yeah.
I like that rather than it just keeps going on. Because, I mean, I've joked about how Black was supposed to be my liberation from...
Yeah, it's not, because there's new figures coming out for 7.
Figures.
Yep. Oh, man. Joshua Flood says, what are some individual obscure figures from various line that hold a particular spot as some of your favorite figures?
You know, from G.I. Joe, I love Mercer. He's my favorite
right,
Joe.
Right.
You know, Crocmaster is pretty obscure.
Yeah.
I sort of love Raptor because he's just... everything about him is
just
wrong.
Goofy. Yeah,
it's just stupid and wrong.
He's a birdman with wings.
Well, he's a birdman with wings in an organization that's reptile themed.
It
makes no sense. It's like, we're a terrorist organization. What we need is a falconer.
You know, I look at that figure and I think somebody at Hasbro must have watched before the night before they designed that figure for that wave was like, I just watched Condor Man. Which is the classic campy Disney superhero movie from the 70s. So
that's exactly what I think of every time I see that figure.
Some of the ones that hold a particular spot for me are the Bill and Ted stuff, all of it. Every figure in that line has a very, very particular spot for me because they're just so... The Lincoln with his hat that comes off and he's got the kid in play haircut, you know, the racer haircut. Oh, my God. How much cooler can you get and quirky than that? Really?
Yeah. You know, obviously from DC Universe Classics, I love Toy Man because he completed the Legion of Doom.
Yes.
He was that, you know, whatever, because this was still when it was retail, though. But Mattel, when DC Universe Classics was in its heyday, they really did a good job with that line. And there was a real love of DC and the history.
Yes.
And the fandom.
Yes.
Which is one of the reasons I'm sad that things went the way they did. But I love that they did, like, Toy Man, because it's such a... That whole story is so, you know, that character was just there for, like, 1 or 2 years and got put into the show. So now he's kind of iconic, even though in the comics he's really not.
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, I actually, as a general rule, I like the kind of oddball, more obscure characters. I love Max Rebo from Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, yeah.
I have a bunch of those. You know, obviously one of my favorite characters is Bossk, who, you know, he's gotten bigger as the years gone on. As years go by.
Yeah, but he was on screen for what, like...
He was on screen for 3 seconds. He had a line of dialogue. Rest Luke Raruf.
Yeah.
Because I have the card for that. But I think as the years went on, he became the guy... When you wanted to reference an obscure Star Wars character, but not so obscure that people didn't know what it was,
it was either Bossk or Ephaunt Man.
Well, it was Bossk. Ephaunt Man's pretty obscure.
Yeah.
But Bossk has become the go-to guy for that.
Yeah.
So he's gotten a little trendy, but that was about Bossk before Bossk was cool.
That's right. It says, for Duvall, are there any videos still in existence of your wrestling days? There are, actually. I have one in my possession that's...
Do you have the one where he cripples you?
That is in existence, but I can't seem to find anyone who has it. There is one we used to
that
do...
That I would love to see for archival reasons.
New Midwest Wrestling had a yearly show, which was our WrestleMania, called November Rain, R-E-I-G-N.
Oh.
So we used to do that every November, of course, and the first November Rain, the actual first big November Rain we did... I was in a tag match as Bing Francis Alexia Westlake III, my golfer gimmick, with the former ring announcer who became my caddy. His name was Danger Doug Fraes. We were in a match against my former caddy, whose name was Eric Logan, and the then president of New Midwest Wrestling, Stan Salinger. I have a copy of that match because that's still one of my favorite matches I had. There are a bunch of stuff that is in existence on tapes that I've tried to kind of reach out to some of the guys who have it to get copies. And unfortunately, those always go nowhere because most of those guys are, unfortunately, super lazy. So I can't seem to get anywhere with any of them. But I do have the one on VHS, and if I ever get the equipment again to capture footage from the VHS tape, I will put it up on ToyWorldOrder.com so people can see it.
I would like to see it.
Yeah, it's
I would always like to see you get beaten up.
I bet. It's pretty entertaining. I may actually have to dig that out because I know it's still in the VCR that I took down for Dave to watch because it's not really that long of a match, but it's a fun match. So,
did you ever see the South Park about wrestling?
Yes.
WTF?
Yes.
Because, like, you're describing his whole backstory, and that's just where you're reminding
me. Oh, yes. Yeah. And he says, number three, I've noticed some of my figures, particularly Toy Biz Marvel Legends, becoming very loose over time and even getting a strange white powdery film on them. I've noticed with some DC Universe figures. However, some of my oldest figures still look almost as good as the day they were purchased. Do you know anything behind this? Why this happens? I've heard the plastic used is actually degrading before our very eyes. Well,
Wave 3 of DC Universe Classics
yep.
is infamous for that.
What happens with a lot of that that's getting that white film is the fact they used cheap plastic. They used
yeah.
bad plastic on a lot of pretty much those releases.
Wave 3 is really noticeable about that. And
yes.
then a lot of the... the animated ones, the Justice League figures, have that going on, too.
Yeah. It's just Mattel and Toy Biz use some really bad plastic.
It's just disintegrating.
So, and it is. It's literally degrading. As for loose joints, that happens in all Marvel Legends, unfortunately, and DC. They all get loose joints.
It happens almost to every toy.
Yeah.
If you move it around enough, the joints get loose.
Yep.
And especially with something that has a lot of joints like Marvel Legends, it's just the whole system starts to, you know, to fail.
Yep.
It's why if you have a toy of a giant bug, it doesn't stand up very well. And seriously.
I know. Christopher Haywood, good friend who actually drew the David DeVos Toys and Collectibles logo that's out there now. The
picture
of me as Sheriff Woody and Dave as Buzz Lightyear. He says, what do you consider the centerpiece of your collection?
Well, I mean, come on. It's got to be the flag.
Yeah, yours is the flag. Definitely.
See, I got bored with these questions because it's always the flag. It's like, I almost resent having the flag at this point. You know, it's like, cause it's always like, oh, it's the flag.
The centerpiece of my collection.
It's got to be the Ghostbusters things.
Actually, no, it's the talking toys.
Oh, really?
I mean, the Filmation Ghostbusters are a big part of the collection, but the talking toys are something I'm very proud of because I have all of the licensed talking toys.
I know, but like once you got them all, suddenly they were like yesterday's news and it was all about something else.
Well, but if you think once you complete something, you're on to the next thing, basically.
I know, but still.
You know, I mean, think about it. I completed Bill and Ted's and now I'm on to the next thing, so. Now I'm trying
to. You shouldn't be on anything.
Well, I shouldn't be, but I am.
You should be on a diet.
I am on a diet, but my eyes are... Every time somebody posts a
new
Police Academy figure that's stupid cheap, that's a vintage release, that's complete, I'm like, fuck, really?
Dude, I don't want to hear you whining anymore.
Yeah. Jeffrey David Green says, what's your opinion on toy scalpers? And you may have to offer your definition of a toy scalper to answer this question.
Are they even relevant anymore?
Well, they are.
They were a big pain in the butt, like... 5-6 years
ago. They've been a big pain in the butt for people looking for the new legends for the Captain America and the Spider-Man legends. Oh God, yeah, the scalpers have been destroying those.
I would not know
because you ordered them from.
No, I didn't order them. I didn't order them. I was at Toys R Us and I was walking out and they wheeled in a thing and I'm like, oh, CA2.
Yeah,
I'm like, I will take that then. Thank
you. We'll see what's in that box. Scalpers are. I mean, I understand. I don't know how to phrase this. Scalpers are just generally the type of toy scalpers that are actual scalpers are not good. And of course, we talk about our buddy BG, who apparently listens to the show. Who apparently is very upset that we've talked about him on the show. Now, mind you, we've never mentioned him by name, just simply initials.
Yeah, we have. We gave up on the BG thing a long time ago.
Well,
I think when we stopped talking some of the more epic stories, but. I don't think anything we told was a lie. So.
No, nothing we've ever said is a lie. We've never exaggerated any of the tales. He says that we have made him look like a horrible human being. Unfortunately, we did not do that. He did that to himself.
Wow, we're mending fences today.
I'm not in the mood to mend fences with BG.
Apparently not.
Because apparently he can still, I can still be of use to him, so he's... He's told people
benefit
that,
him.
He's told people that he will be
the quote, which now he's gonna be mad that we talk about that.
You know, I don't care. I don't ever. We don't even see him at Toy Man anymore. So who cares?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, if you don't want to be talked about, don't be colorful. Like if you want to like have people not talk about you, you blend into the woodwork. You don't make. You know,
yes.
Here I am. Pay attention to me. Yes. Here's the things I'm doing to get toys and have everybody. You know, because. People still, to this day, at Toys R Us, you know, the legend has been passed. I mean, I was told once there were three guys, all right? Two were a word that I can't use on a family-friendly show.
Right.
And then the third guy, he's pretty cool. He's got a basement full of toys. I'm like, oh, is he really fat? And it's like, yeah. Oh!
Hey, that's me!
It's like, yeah, that's me!
Dave's like, I'm that guy.
And the other two guys were our Hot Wheels buddy Al and BG.
Yep, so...
So,
scalpers just in general are just, I mean, they're starting to make a really large comeback with like Marvel Legends. The Marvel Legends.
Oh, yeah, you just said. Yeah.
Legends stuff, man. That's all I saw on Facebook for weeks was just scalpers destroying Marvel Legends and asking ridiculous prices.
I have not heard anything about that. The thing about that, though, at the end of the day, it's a symptom, not a disease.
Right.
And we were talking earlier about Mattel and people supporting Matty Collector, you know, and even though, you know, obviously He-Man fans would love to buy from somewhere else, but where are you going to go? When you buy from a scalper, you know, when you buy something from eBay, that's a modern product.
Yes.
You're part of the problem.
I agree.
And I've been part of the problem before because, you know, I bought Darth Plagueis off of eBay.
Right.
For more than retail because I didn't want to bother, you know, at this point in my career, he said with air quotes.
Yes.
Because he's got a sense of humor about himself.
Oh, Dave.
You know, there's just stuff that I don't really want to drive around town every day, hitting every store for one figure.
Right.
And because it was basically one figure, I figured, screw it, I will pay the extra money.
Yes.
But that's part of the problem, because some guy, wherever I bought that from, is hitting every store and buying up figures like Darth Plagueis and selling it on eBay for markup.
Yep.
But that's the thing, is if you don't, you know, if you really, really, really don't want scalpers, don't buy from them.
Yeah.
And just hope that down the road you can find it cheap at a toy show.
Yep.
And that's tends to be what happens, is the stuff that's hot today is garbage tomorrow.
I agree. Gary David Williams says, who would win in a fight, Bravestar or Captain Power?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Captain Power has a jet.
He does. I mean, Bravestar's got some cool stuff, but Captain Power's got jets, so I, much as I love Bravestar, I'd probably have to go with Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
No, it's got, you know, because I was going to say, you can't include 30-30, because just Bravestar and Captain Power, so I guess
yeah,
Captain
so
Power.
I'd go with Captain Power.
He's got space armor and stuff.
Yep. Rich Bernier says, hey, you two big, beautiful men. Aww.
No, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Rich. The question's more in Dave's wheelhouse, but Duvall's free to answer as well. What are the definitive best versions? What are the definitive best versions of the following Joes?
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Duke, one. Flint, Scarlet, Destro, and Baroness.
Okay, first of all, from now on, if you're asking a question that requires research, you must post it within 72 hours notice. I mean, definitive is a hard thing, because then you're kind of talking about the best iconic version, and it gets tricky.
Right.
A lot of those figures, there were, at the end of the 25th anniversary, they did a couple, they started it off with 5-packs, because that was what it was supposed to be.
Right.
It was supposed to be just a couple of 5-packs, and it blossomed into a line. At the tail end of the line, I think in 2009, they did a couple of 5-packs at the end that were basically, hey, these are figures that we kind of whiffed the first time around, we'd like to give a second chance to make them better.
Right.
And so I would definitely, that Flint, that Baroness from that other 5-pack,
right,
are probably the definitive versions of those figures. Duke's hard, because the 25th Dukes were all terrible. Except for, like, when he was weird variants, and then that's not iconic. So I would almost say the definitive Duke is that very first Duke. Destro, again, there's so many versions of Destro, like, because I don't really like the iconic Destro. So, I mean, to me, my favorite Destros are probably the Iron Grenadier one.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's got the gold helmet. Yeah. And I can't remember what that... I think that was a 2-pack for 25th. And then there's one that came in the Resolute pack where he's got the long coat. That's really cool looking.
Yeah.
Who else is on that list? Scarlet. Scarlet! Man, again, Scarlet's one of those characters that, like... I guess I'd have to go with that first 25th Scarlet, because she... Again, just did not get a lot of... I mean, if you're talking definitive, you're talking iconic. You know, because they're better Scarlets. I think the Resolute Scarlet, or the... Not Resolute, the...
Renegades?
Renegade Scarlet is a really good figure.
Right.
I mean, if I had to pick a favorite Scarlet, it would probably be Renegades. Or the black costume from the movie. Because even though it's not iconic, it's a good figure, you know. So, it's tricky. When you're talking definitive, it gets tricky.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously the definitive Snake Eyes is the visor version 2 with Timber.
Yeah.
So.
I don't really have anything to add to that because I never collected it. So. Randy RC says
that... Well, didn't he ask... I wanted to... Because he asked what a wheelhouse is anyway.
Yes,
I wanted to answer that real quick. A wheelhouse is, you know, when you're on a boat, it's that little cabin.
Right.
Where the steering wheel is. You know, if you remember Steamboat Willie.
Yep.
Where he's spinning
that's
the wheel.
That's the wheelhouse.
That's the wheelhouse. Yep. And it's become a metaphor for that air, your kind of comfort zone, area of expertise, that stuff that you know.
Yes.
So for me, it would be like G.I. Joe and Star Wars.
Right.
My wheelhouse. That's
right.
That's where I kind of am in my prime.
For me, it's every other odd toy line ever created.
Yeah, odd toy lines.
Yep. Oh, man.
I wanted to be helpful and answer his question.
I know.
All right, go ahead. Next one.
Randy RC says, hey guys, over Christmas I learned that Toys R Us has different pricing systems online and in the stores, and the physical stores don't honor online prices. I think this is just another in a list of reasons why there's no point in toy hunting in the wild for newer releases, especially for Toys R Us. I started thinking about that after last week hearing Ados Baron talk about how a set he was looking for kept changing price online. What do you think?
Thing is...
Well, I can tell you why ToysRUs.com and Toys R Us physical stores are completely different beasts.
Can I give my guess first?
Sure, go ahead.
You can make fun of me if I'm totally
wrong.
No,
go ahead.
Well, the stores have expenses. They've got rent, and they've got you know, to pay for people's salaries, and they've got utilities, and they've got maintenance.
It's a good guess.
And they've got shipping.
It's a good guess.
Whereas, you know, ToysRUs.com just has a warehouse somewhere. It's like Amazon. It's why Amazon's beating the pants off of... It's why actual bookstores are dead.
Yeah.
You know, and Amazon is, you know, because he has no overhead.
The truth?
Sure, the truth.
While they're owned by the same company, they're literally two different companies.
That's everything, though.
That's
Maddie Collector, that's Hasbro Toy Shop.
I know, and that's why they will not honor online prices and physical
stores. That's why they won't honor it, yeah.
So, I mean, yes, you can do site-to-store shipping and stuff, but they literally, they won't honor those prices because it's not the same company. It's really weird. Toys R Us has been like that. That's how it started.
Again, Hasbro Toy Shop is not owned by Hasbro.
Right. So that's kind of the funky thing. I kind of don't want to continue to answer this question because Toys R Us talking about it just makes me upset.
All right.
And I can feel my hairs graying even more as we talk.
All right, fair enough.
I was in Toys R Us the other day and I was just like, somebody was telling me the tales about stocking right now and there and how they have no one to do it and how they had to unload a truck and it's been sitting on the dock since like last Saturday and all this other stuff, and I can just feel my hairs going more and more gray going, I don't work here and it's upsetting me.
Yeah, I know. Like, they're in trouble.
I need to breathe.
And I feel bad because I like a lot of people who work there.
Yeah, I do too.
So I'm kind of confused why nothing's going right.
Yeah. Never did it, Toys R Us. Mm. And the last question from Fernando Jr. says, a price-wise and collectors-wise, would it be better to buy an original Millennium Falcon outright or piece one together from parts? I always wanted one as a kid. A USS flag seems too pricey at $1,000 on eBay. And he goes on to say, great show, guys. Join the order.
Okay, here's the thing. With the Falcon, the real question is less... The thing you want with the Falcon is you want to get one that has the cardboard wall in a good shape.
Yes.
And that the electronics work.
Yeah.
And if you can get that, then parting it out... If you can get one that doesn't have the parts, but it has that in good shape, then you're better off parting it out. You know, if you can find one complete, you know, for a good price, you should get it complete for a good price. You should always do that. But that's one that's... There are not a lot of parts to it, and you should be able to part it out fairly reasonably. I really haven't looked, but I mean the key thing is to get the wall and the electronics.
Yeah.
Yeah. The flag is just a nightmare because the flag is huge. It's got a ton of little tiny things.
All the little clips, the deck clips.
All the little deck clips. The fantail railing.
Which Dave was missing 3 deck clips forever.
I was missing like 2 deck clips.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's probably. I mean, that's what I agree with Dave said. It's easier if you find those 2 key pieces with the Millennium Falcon in good shape, the cardboard,
the body in good shape, then you're better off parting it out.
The parts aren't that expensive for that.
I wouldn't think so.
No, not at all. So.
And there's not a lot of... The key is there's not a lot of them.
No, not at all. Well, there you go, guys. That brings us to the end of fan questions. There's no thoughts with ADOS this week. Of course, he's on a bi-weekly schedule, so he'll be back next week with a brand new Thoughts with ADOS Barone. And, of course, we have a new site sponsor. You can check out Nerd Rage.
To the end of the show, I guess.
You can check out Nerd Rage Toys. They are the a new site sponsor there for ToyWorldOrder.com.
I don't know.
As well as they will be the official.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to be sponsored again.
It's
my heart's been hurt.
Well, this is.
I don't know if I'm ready.
Oh well. Nerd Rage is very cool. Cool.
Then I feel bad because they might be the Rebound sponsor, and that's not fair to them.
That's not fair to them. But they're also going to be the official sponsor of. Not only Duvall's Vintage Toy Box, but as well as starting, not this week's, but I believe starting next week's episode, they'll be the official sponsor of Collection Expansion Extravaganza.
Why can't they sponsor this stupid podcast so we can just say that they're the sponsor? Because then you get this weird niggling, which makes me want to punch you when you're like, the site's sponsored by this, but the show is not.
You know,
me absolutely berserk when you do that.
I'm actually okay with our podcast at the moment not being... sponsored.
Yeah, because we don't want to be beholden to corporate interests. Telling it to the man.
Sorry.
It does. It's like, I mean, if they sponsor the site, then they sponsor the podcast. The podcast is on the site. Without the site, there is no podcast.
Oh, well.
It bugs me when you do that.
Sorry. I'll try to be better
about
it.
It's going to cost you anything, Nerd Rage. I mean, it all goes into Duvall's Cayman offshore illegal account anyway. Dawson, I never see any money.
Oh, man. Oh, Dave.
We don't.
Dave. There you go, guys. That brings us to the end of this episode of David DeVall's Toys and Collectibles while Dave is in a wonderful mood.
Wow.
So, there you go, guys. You can check us out online. Check out, you know, toyworldorder.com. Of course, check out the YouTube channel, Toy World Order, on YouTube. Hit subscribe. It helps us out greatly. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier before fan questions, you can go to Facebook.com and Google, or not Google, but search on Facebook.com. I got mixed up there.
Smooth.
Sorry. You can search Toy World Order fans and join the fan group for ToyWorldOrder.com, as well as check out Toy World Order on the official Toy World Order page. So make sure you check that out. And gang, until next time,
you'll have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The toy bar is closed, peeps. Peace out.